stand. This is a powerful scripture. And what this particular scripture does, it contrasts two different ways of life, the godly as well as the ungodly. You say, well, what is the determining factor between godly and ungodly? You're either lost or you're saved. Now, you can be saved and still not be considered godly. Unfortunately, you can stray away, but God's not going to leave you out there. Brother Joe and I had a great conversation, just a brief conversation the other day, but it's a great conversation. The Bible does not support somebody staying in a 40-year backslidden condition. It doesn't support that. If you've got somebody on your heart that you've been praying for because they backslid 35, 40, 50 years ago, start praying this prayer. Lord, would you convict them of their sin that they might be saved? Okay, a whole good chance that person never got it to start with. But the ungodly are those that just don't trust, hasn't trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Listen at the contrast between these two. You talk about the prosperity preachers. This right here is a prosperity gospel. It's a prosperity passage. But it's only because of the godly. And it's not necessarily talking about money. Watch this. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doeth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in his season, and his leaf shall also not wither. And whatsoever that he doeth shall prosper. That's a pretty good passage of scripture there. Bless God, there's going to be some fruit, Brother Tim. There's going to be the fruit of righteousness. Go over to the book of Galatians and read about that fruit. And bless God, that fruit will show up. It'll be very evident. The Bible said you can know the tree by the fruit that it bears. You'll bear those peaceable fruits of righteousness. That love, faith, hope, temperance, against such there is no law. You'll bear those things rather than the latter part of this passage. Look what it says in verse number 4. The ungodly are not so. They're like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. I'm glad I'm sealed unto the day of redemption. It's very clear in the scriptures that the Lord wants to save. Because he even said that he was not willing, or in other words, it's not his will that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance. Folks, accept him tonight. If you don't know him as Savior, I wouldn't wait another minute. I wouldn't wait another hour. As soon as he'd come by my way and knocking on my heart's door, I'd find me an altar. I'd bow right then and there. You say, well, where would you have to be? I don't care where it's at. If it's in a hayfield, in a deer stand, by a fishing hole, or in front of this church, meet the Lord. Get to know him. Come on, preacher. Preach to us. Are these your bags or those are yours? I didn't know what they was, if I was supposed to eat something. Or you go right here. Preach to us.
Amen. Just go ahead and have a seat if you like to. I've got a word or two I need to say before we even start preaching. I do appreciate you being here in the house of God tonight. I appreciate our choirs and the solo tonight. Choir, I want to tell you something. Shirley and I pray for you every single day. Every day. We pray for our church as a whole. We pray for our pastor and his wife every single day. Now, I want to encourage you to do the same. There's something about praying and getting close to God. The more you pray, the closer to God you get. And there's just something about that prayer. And, you know, I've got my prayer place, and Shirley and I pray together, but I've got my own prayer place that I go to and pray. And it's God speaks to my heart, and I'm glad that He does. He don't speak to me in an audible voice, but He speaks to my heart. He tells me what I need to do and where I need to go and things in my life that I need to take care of, and I appreciate Him doing that. And let me say this, that a week ago tonight, I was in my prayer place praying. And I prayed for this church again, prayed for everybody, every leadership in this church. I prayed for these young men of God that stand and preach the word of the Lord. And I asked God to open doors for these men, that God would take them out and use them in this community or wherever He wants them to be used. that God will just open a door for them and use them. I also prayed that God will open a door for me. Now, you can believe this if you want to believe it or not, but it's coming from my heart. I know what God spoke to me through my heart. I prayed, God, that you open a door that I might stand and preach the Word of God. Thursday evening, God gave me this message. He spoke to my heart. And he said, Kenny, this is what I want you to do. I've done something tonight, and I hope and pray that God will get the glory out of what's done tonight. I want to try my very best to mind the Lord and do what God would have me to do today. And children, I beg you, get somewhere alone with God. Get in your prayer closet and pray and let God touch your heart and your life. I knew God was going to give me some word to preach because He gave me a message. I don't ask nobody. I don't go and call any other preachers. I let God do the work in my heart and my life. The pastor called me yesterday afternoon and said, Kenny, can you preach? I said very quickly, yes, I can. Because God had done give me this message. I didn't know where it was going to be preached at, but I do now. Amen. But I appreciate you being here, and I pray that God will help you in this message tonight. And it's going to be everywhere. But I want you to take some of this and let it gleam in your heart and your life. That you might do and live a life and live a better life than you ever lived. And knowing, my friend, that God is there in the midst today. I'm glad, my friend, He is in the midst this day. Now, if you would like to stand, you may do so. If you have your Bibles, you can turn with us in the book of 1 Kings in chapter 17. In that book, we're going to be reading 1 through 24 in this scripture tonight. And I pray that God will just bless you and help you as we look in the Word of God tonight. The Bible says in 1 Kings, if you found your places, if you have a Scofield Bible, be on page 411 in the Word of God, in chapter number 17, in verse number 1. The Bible says, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Kidron, and that it is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Kidron, that it is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise and get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. And behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called for her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make it for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according unto the saying of Elijah. And she and her, she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which is spake by Elijah. And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. And his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, what have I done with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? And he said unto her, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into the loft where he abode, and laid him upon his bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come unto him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came unto him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought it down out of the chamber unto the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, see, thy son liveth. And the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord is in thy, the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. May God add a blessing to the reading of God's word. I'm going to ask Brother Chris if he would lead us to the Lord in prayer, please. Amen. Thank you, Brother Chris. I appreciate that. I want to try to bring you a message this evening on being there. If you look and listen as we go through the scripture tonight, you'll find that there's many times that God used the word there. And youngs, I'm going to tell you something today. Until we get there, we'll never realize what God is wanting to do in our heart, in our life today. And I pray that God will help you get there, my friend, this evening, where that you could really know what it is to serve and worship God in spirit and in truth. The Bible says in verse number 1 of that chapter, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Now, Elijah and Ahab, they had a conversation, my friend, all during their time. Everywhere Elijah went, seemed like Ahab was in the midst, and Ahab was trying to destroy and kill Elijah, and he was just, Ahab's wife was just as mean and ornery as Ahab was, and my friend, they was trying to get rid of Elijah. But there's something in Elijah's life that made him not to fear Ahab nor anything else that came, my friend, across his path today. The Bible said here in the Word of God that he stood before the Lord. My friend, I'm going to tell you something tonight. We need to be like Elijah and look at our life. If we stand before God and ask ourselves, Lord, what is my relationship with thee? Elijah stood there before God. He knew that God had commanded him what to do. He knew he was in God's will. He knew he was going to do what God had asked him to do. And knows we today, I need to put our place in that. If you're saved by the grace of God, you are standing, my friend, before God tonight. And God wants us, my friend, to realize this today and realize, you know, I'm standing before God and I want to look at my relationship that I have with God Almighty.
I mentioned prayer at the beginning. My friend, you cannot have a relationship with God without prayer in your life. You've got to pray and get on your face before God and ask God to help you, ask God to show you and open your eyes to help you see what His will is in your heart and your life today. Elijah stood there before Ahab. Now, Ahab was the king. Ahab could have had him killed, and Elijah knew that. But Elijah said, I'm not afraid of you, Ahab. I'm standing here and looking you right straight in the eye and telling you that there's going to come a famine upon this land. A three-year famine is going to come upon this land today. My friend, we find that Elijah stood there with all grace in his heart and his life. And my friend, he stood there and can stand there because of his relationship he had with God Almighty. My friend, listen to me tonight. I told you God's not going to come down and speak to us in an audible voice. He has not done that. He will not do that. My friend, as we live in today, He will not do that. But I want to tell you today, the Spirit of God, my friend, it indwells in our heart and our life. That's what speaks to our heart through Jesus Christ, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit today. My friend, it speaks to our heart and our life. It helps us, my friend, to realize what God's will is in our life and what our relationship is, my friend, to Him today. My friend, whenever we get to that point in our life that we're listening to God speak to our heart, it gives you confidence today how to stand and do what God, my friend, wants you to do today. I'm here to tell you there's not a time that I get in the pulpit that I'm not nervous and I'm not scared to death. My friend, I get up and walk the floor, pace the floor at the house. And my friend, but I want to tell you something. I've got confidence because I know my relationship with God. My friend, what He's done for me and what He is doing for me in my heart and my life. Young as we need to get that place in our life that we've got a relationship with God. My friend, we're standing before Him. My friend, when you go to stand before God, God begins to speak to your heart and then you obey the Spirit of God. My friend, there's some confidence that comes in your heart and your life that's beyond this world I can ever give you today. I thank God for the grace and the power of Almighty God. When God called me to preach, I never stood before a class at school and give a book report. I mean, I couldn't do that. But my friend, I want to tell you something. How when God called me to preach the gospel, I realized it wasn't me doing it. It was God. And buddy, I crawled in there and I preached just as hard and just as loud and stomped and snorted and shouted and done whatever God wanted me to do. My friend, I'm still doing it today because I've got confidence in standing before God. My friend, He'll do for us what we can't even think or hope. My friend, in this life today, my friend, standing before Him, gives us confidence. But listen to me. Elijah realized that he was minding God. He was listening for God. And we find there in verse number 2, the Bible said, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Kidron, that is before Jordan. My friend, he told him, he said, listen, I want you to go down there to that brook, and I want you to hide yourself, my friend, down there in that brook. Listen to me, my friend. God knows what we need. And my friend, He knows where we need to go. And we might ask ourselves, well, why in the world does God want me to go down there by the brook and sit down there by the brook? My friend, let me tell you something today. I there's a place that I go just about every morning. My friend, it's right beside of a river. And my own you to know there's nothing no peaceful in my heart and my life than walking beside that river. Come on. My friend, there's just a peace of God there in my soul today. My friend, I thank God for that. And Elijah, my friend, he went down there to the brook. The Bible said, And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed ye there. My friend, I'm going to tell you something today. I don't care where you're at. As long as you get there, God said, I'll take care of you. I'll take care of all your needs. I'll take care of everything in your life. The Bible told Elijah, said, Elijah, I'm going to send some ravens down there and they're going to feed you. They're going to bring you bread and meat. And my friend in there, twice a day, he said, you go down there and drink out of that brook. He said, I'm going to take care of you today. Why did he do that? Because he said, you are there. You are there. My friend, when we get there and get our relationship before God, my friend, true and living for God and serving Him and get a hold in Him, my friend, in our prayer, I'm here to tell you, God, to give you confidence in your heart and your life, how to stand, my friend. Listen, that person at work is all the time making fun of you. I want to tell you something. God, put confidence in your heart and your life, my friend, for you to witness to that person, but you do it in love.
Amen.
You don't do it through hatred. You don't do it by cramming that down their throat. My friend, you do it in love. You let God touch you. You let God help you. I've stood there and men cussed me up one side and down the other. I just stand there with a smile on my face and let them get done. And when they get done, I say, brother, I love you. I love you. My friend, I'm going to tell you something. Love will do more than you ever think that it will be. My friend, the Bible said that the ravens shall feed him there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Kidroth, and it that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. My friend, I'm going to tell you something today. Preacher, you believe God done that? My friend, if I don't believe First Kings, my friend, ain't no use to believe in John 3:16. My friend, it's all in the same book. My friend, from Genesis, Revelation, I believe it all. I might not understand it all, but I want to tell you tonight, young and I believe every word of it. Every word. God commanded them ravens to come down there and feed Elijah. My friend, he just got tired of eating, went over at the brook, laid down like a dog, and licked that water up out of that brook. I want to tell you something, if you've never done that, you ought to do it. Amen. I've done that more times than you can shake a stick at. There's something about getting on your knees and getting down there and drinking out of that water. My friend, you realize then just how low you can go. My friend, realize just where God's brought you from. Verse number 7, and it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. You might say, well, preacher, why didn't God just leave him out there? Well, God had some more lessons to teach him. Amen, my friend, listen to me today. There's coming a time in your life that ain't already here. My friend, you're going to be down there and say, well, I'm doing what God wants me to do. I'm in the very place God wants me to be. But all of a sudden, the creek dries up.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
You can go without food for a while, but you can't go without water.
Right.
You've got to have that water, my friend, for you to live. What do you do when the creek dries up? Well, what about your relationship with God? My friend, you look to God and God says, listen, in verse number 8, he said, and the word of the Lord came unto him saying, arise and get thee to Zarephath, which belong to Sodom, Sodom, and behold there, and that dwell there, behold, I commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. My friend, we find in this scripture today that God moved him there from the brook down there to Zarephath. And he said, I want to tell you, Elijah, he said, I want you to go down there and dwell there. My friend, he was there where God wanted him to be.
Amen.
He said, I want you to go down there and I want you to dwell there. He said, not only that, there's a widow woman down there that's going to sustain thee there. My friend, you know what? Elijah was getting where God wanted him to be. My friend, he was there. My friend, being there with Jesus and being there with the Holy Spirit and being there with God, being in a place that God can use you for His glory and His honor today. My friend, we find that because of being where God wants us to be, my friend, even though the brook dried up, my friend, God still has a way and a plan, my friend, for you and I today.
Amen.
The brook may dry up over here, but God's got something for you over here to help you and sustain you, and my friend, bless your heart and bless your life. The Bible said, so he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the woman was there gathering of sticks, and he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. My friend, we find that when they got down there to Zarephath, my friend Elijah walked up there and he seen that little widow woman out there. And my friend, the Bible said that she would be there. And he seen her as she come up, as he walked up and seen her there. My friend, the Bible said in verse number 11, and she was going to fetch it. He called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. My friend, the Bible said Elijah went there to that little widow woman and said, listen, I want you to go to your home and bring me a little morsel of bread to me. My friend, whenever God dries up one place, he'll give us another place. My friend, we may go. The widow woman, my friend, she was at her wit's end. She was had her last step. My friend, she had weathered this drought. She had done for her son. My friend, she'd done everything she possibly could for her son. But here is a man of God, Elijah there. She was out there gathering two sticks to make her last meal for her son and herself. Elijah come up there and said, listen, would you go get me something to drink and bring me something, a little morsel in thy hand? My friend, listen to what the Bible said. Verse number 12, and she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me, my son, that we may eat it and die. My friend, this widow woman was at her wit's end. She didn't know what else to do. I'm going out and gathering this. I'm going to make me and my son our last meal, and we're going to die. She was at her wit's end, but she didn't know that Elijah had been standing before God. Didn't know that Elijah's relationship with God was real and true. Elijah heard God, my friend, not with an audible voice, but through the Spirit of God. God told Elijah, said, listen, I want you to go down there to Zarephath. He said, there's a widow woman down there that I'd like to meet you. My friend, and so we find that Elijah went down there and met this little widow woman. He said, would you go home, make me a little bitty cake and bring it back to me? And she said, I don't have a cake. She said, all I've got is a little meal in a barrel and a little bit of oil. My friend, I'm going to tell you something today. God has spoke to my heart so many times, my friend, about this scripture right here about a cake. I wanted you to know today that perhaps Elijah is getting tired of eating meat and bread, my friend, for a long time. He had got down there to that little widow woman's house and told her, said, would you go bring me and fix me a cake and bring it to me? Now, my friend, when I begin to think about that, I thought about my mother. My mother was a wonderful cook. I'm telling you what's the truth. She could take anything and make it good. I've eaten mud turtle. I mean, it was delicious. My mother fixed that. We eat all kinds of stuff, and my mother can just make it where it's real, real good. My mother, she done the very best that she possibly could. My dad worked at the sawmill, and my mom stayed at home with us eight young'uns. My friend, we, as children, I used to go in there and watch my mom cook. Mama could start making biscuits, and she didn't have to measure nothing out. She knowed what she's doing, and she'd pat them things out, and she'd have to make a big pan full. I guess there's probably 25 biscuits on that pan. And my friend, when she got done with them biscuits, she'd take them out and had a big bowl there and had a cloth in it. And my friend, she'd put them biscuits in that cloth and close that cloth on that biscuit. You know why she done that? She didn't want them biscuits to get hard. You let them out in the air, my friend, they'd get hard before you got ready to eat. That she'd close them up there so they'd be good and soft for Daddy and for us young'uns. Now I want to tell you something. Them biscuits, they was good as cakes. I'm telling you what's the truth. She could bake and just a blessing, my friend, to have a mother that cared about her family like our mother cared about them. There's a lot of love within them biscuits. She'd make a cake of cornbread. I know some of you don't know anything about a cake of cornbread. Some of us older ones do. Amen. My friend, Mama bake a cake of cornbread. And you know, sometimes I try to bake one there at the house. And sometimes mine will stick. But Mama's never stuck. Never stuck. She'd bake that cornbread and flip that thing out there. It'd be a big one. It wouldn't be one there. It'd be a big one. You had to have a big one to feed 10 of us. She set that on the table, and man, it was good. Now, I don't know about you, but we didn't have Coca-Colas every day. We didn't have steak and taters on the table every night. My friend, we ate what Mom and Dad put on the table, and we didn't say nothing about it. And when you got done eating, if it's your turn to wash dishes, you better get up and get at it too. Amen. But listen, my mama was a wonderful cook. And there's something else about my mama. My friend, when us boys, there was 7 of us out there in that home. All the other kids our age, they'd come out to the house. They want to play ball, football, basketball, baseball. I mean, we's right there at them. We's right there and amongst them. And about dinner time, mama would say, "All right, y'all come on in and eat." It didn't matter where you was a child there from another home. My friend, you went into that house and you ate. There's not a young'un that left that place without eating. My friend, mama had, they had a big old table set back there and hold about 15 or 16 of us around that table. And mama fixed for every one of us. Now, it might not have been a whole lot, but it's something mama had in her heart was a love. What she done, she enjoyed doing that today. My friend, my mama fixed some things that I'll never, never forget. Elijah mentioned about a cake. Now, he may have been talking about a cake of meal. But my friend, I want to tell you about a real cake. I believe Elijah was wanting something sweet in his mouth because he'd eat the bread and eat the meat that come into him. He wanted something in his mouth that was a little sweet. My mama could fix the best chocolate cake you ever ate in your life. My friend, she'd bake that thing up, and listen, it wasn't one layer, 2 layers, it's 4 layers. That thing was about that high. And she'd make them cakes. And listen, whenever she made them cakes, she didn't go and get that little old jar out of the refrigerator and put that chocolate and smear it on. She didn't do that. She got the old-time cocoa. I've not seen that even on the shelves of a supermarket today. She got the old cocoa. And she took that cocoa and put it out in a bowl. And she'd put some oil in that, put a little water in that. My friend, stir it up real good and get it real fluid. And then she put it on the stove. And my friend, that thing would get to boiling on the stove. And she'd stir it and she'd take it off and go over at that cake. And she'd pour a little on top of it. It'd just run down all over it. And she'd get that knife, that spreading knife, and she'd begin to spread that cake. I mean the sides of it and the top of it, the back of it. My friend, she began to spread that cake. And I want you to know that my friend, and that mama began to pour that. And it just started running all the way down and began on the plate. Man, it looks so good and smells so good. Then about an hour later, that chocolate would set up. And it'd get hard. My friend, I want to tell you today, that's the best cake I ever ate. I mean, it was a chocolate cake. It was a good cake. I tell you what, I miss them old cakes. Amen. I thank God, my friend, that God, my friend, allowed me to be in a home like that today. Us young'uns would sit down there and we'd be eating on that cake. And I want to tell you something. It didn't last long. Whenever we got done to do the dishes, whoever's doing the dishes, got a treat. You know what that was? You ever heard of sopping? You sopped that cake plate that was sitting there. All that chocolate, man, you sopped that up and you eat that. And boy, that was good. My friend, what a blessing. What a blessing. But I'm going to tell you another cake that she made. My friend, she made a pineapple upside down cake that was out of this world. Man, that thing would be about that big, and she'd bake that thing and get it out there and put all that sugar and them pineapples on top. Man, I'm telling you what's the truth. That cake was wonderful. We eat on that thing, and God just blessed our home, blessed our life. We was all lost as Joe's turkey at that time, but you couldn't tell it. Hey, man, I'll tell you today, God come into my home, and God saved every one of us.
Thank you, Lord.
I look back on times like that where my mama cooked. She cooked with love. She put that love in her heart and her life. She put that love in those cakes. My friend, that God had sent for us. And my friend, to sit down and eat on. I'm telling you right now, my friend, if you get where God wants you to be, God's going to fill you with some sweetness in your life. Amen. He's going to give you a cake. Amen. That you can eat. Amen. I'm telling you what's the truth, children. I'm loving God every day. I thank God for the blessings of life that He has given me.
Amen.
And that good, sweet Spirit of God that I feel in my heart and my life. Preacher, you won't have to slow down and quit listening to me. Others, don't bother me. Praise God, I'm having a time. Don't bother me. Youngs, I'm here to tell you God's good. He's the best thing I've ever had in my heart and my life. My friend, He's good to me and He's good to you today. The Bible said there, she said, I'm out there picking up two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son. And we're going to eat it and die. My friend, the Bible said in verse 13, Elijah said unto her, fear not and go do as thou has said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it into me, and after make for thee and for thy son. The Bible said, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. My friend, I'm telling you right now, as long as you're living for God, you might not eat steak every day, but you'll have enough that God has sustained you in your heart and your life that you might live for Him and serve Him in this walk of life today. God said the cruse of oil will never go dry. My friend, I want to tell you something today. That woman was ready to die. That woman was ready to get them two sticks, break them things up, start a fire, and make her and her child the last meal. The man of God come by and said, listen, I'd like to have a cake. She said, I don't have no cake. All I got's a little meal and a little oil in the cruse. He said, you go make that and bring that to me first, and my friend, God's going to take care of you. And that's exactly what God did.
Amen.
Youngs, I'm here to tell you today, and if you let God be first in your life, He'll take care of everything else that comes in your life today. I want to tell you something, my friend. I know we got to have money to live, but money ain't everything. I'd rather have peace of mind. When I lay my head down at night and go to sleep, I've got peace with myself and with God, and my friend, and what God wants me to do. That means more to me than any money. I ain't got money, don't want money. Bless God, I want more God in my heart and my life. I want God to take me and use me by preaching the Word of God. That's what God called me to do. Every time I pray, God open the door, bam, there's one open. I tell you what, I appreciate God. I love God, my friend, for what He's doing in my heart and my life. My friend, the widow woman was at her last step. But my friend, I want to tell you something. God, He comes through again. My friend, aren't you glad of that? Ain't you glad God will always come through no matter what's going on in your life, no matter what you're facing in your life? My friend, God will come through again. Listen, the Bible said, and she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not. neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. My friend, I want to tell you something today. As long as you're living for God, walking for God, and allowing the Spirit of God moving your heart and your life, he'll never fail you. My friend, he'll never let you down. He'll never throw his hands up and call it quits. My friend, if you've been praying for 6 months for somebody to get saved, don't you quit praying. You go to God and say, beg God, Lord, would you save him? Would you save her? Would you save him? And my friend, God will come through. Let's don't quit and give up on God. The Bible says in verse 17, and as it came to pass after these things, that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. And his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, what have I done with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me and call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? My friend, you know that's the first thing you and I think of today when this tragedy comes in our family or in our life. My friend, we go to blaming God. My friend, oh God, what have I done? What have I done that you have allowed this to come in my heart and my life? Children, listen to me today. We need to look, not saying, God, why did you allow this to come in my life? We're going to say, God, you help me. You give me the grace. You give me the faith, my friend, to go through what I'm facing today. And then when you're on the other side of it, you raise your hands to glory and say, thank you, Lord, for all you've done. My friend, listen to me tonight. There's tragedy comes in every one of us's lives. If it hadn't come, it will come. My friend, and I want to tell you something. God is a great big God. He's able to take care of everything that's in our heart, in our life today. Sometimes we do, my friend, get to the place that we start questioning God. God, why'd you allow this to happen in my life? My friend, I want to tell you, you know why God allows things to come in our life? Those of us that are strong Christians and got the grace of God in our heart and our life, my friend, God's just trying to help us to get a little stronger. Just realize, hey, I'm here with you. I'm going through this with you, my friend, because you are there. You are there. Now, I want to tell you something. God laid on my heart who to do what I done just a little while ago. I asked my wife, I said, I hope this afternoon, I said, I hope they're there. I hope they're there. God knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. Youngs, I'm going to do what God tells me to do. I don't care what it is. I'm going to do it by the grace of God. Amen. My friend, listen, God, because you're there, you got to get there before God can really bless you like he wants to bless you. Amen. Whenever you get there, then that heart's going to tell you what you need to do. My friend, God speaks to your heart and says, listen, this is what I want. This is what I want you to do. I told Shirley, I said, I've got to go do something this morning. She said, where are you going? I said, well, you know how these ladies want to know where you're going, what you're doing, hey, when you be back. All that. I said, listen, I've got to make a little trip this morning. I said, I'll be back in a little while. I went and done what God wanted me to do. My friend, I'm telling you today that God is good. His grace and his mercy is good today. This widow woman thought different when she found out her son was dead. The Bible said, and he, Elijah, said unto her, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up to a loft where he abode and laid him upon his bed. He took that child up there in the loft where Elijah was staying and put that young'un down on his bed and laid him down on that bed. And the Bible said, and he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourned by slaying his son? Elijah even questioned God. My friend, you know what Elijah did? The Bible said, and he stretched himself upon the child 3 times. He done it 1 time and got up, and the child wasn't breathing. He done it again and got up, and the child wasn't breathing. He done it the 3rd time, and got up, and the child was breathing. My friend, you can look at this any way you want to look at it. This way I look at it. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. My friend, that's the way I see it today. My friend, He done what the Father wanted to do. The Holy Ghost of God come down and done what He needed to do. And He put life back into that child. My friend, God, in tragedy today, listen, it ain't to the, it's not over. My friend, in tragedy today comes in our life. But thank God if we'll just trust God and lean on Him and let God be God in our heart and our life, He'll get the job done. The Bible said, and He stretched Himself upon the child three times, and He cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, I pray Thee, let this child's soul come unto him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came unto him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought her down into the chamber, into the house, and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, here is thy son. My friend, God done a miracle right there in that young'un's life. You know why He done it? You know why God done that miracle? Because Elijah was there. Because that widow woman was there. My friend, that's the reason God done what He done.
That's right.
My friend, I'm going to tell you something. We just need to get there.
Right.
We just need to get there. That's all we need to do. Just get there. My friend, listen. God speaks in these times of tragedy, but His Word is always truth.
Amen.
Listen. And the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord is in thy mouth is truth. Oh, praise His name. It's truth today. God's got a cake for you. He's got a cake for you. All you got to do is ask Him. I wished I had one to give to everybody. I do. But God knows what He's doing. I'm just following Him. Youngs, there's a cake out there waiting. Even in tragedy, there's a cake waiting. All God wants you to do and me to do is get in that place, stand before God and look at our life and evaluate our life and say, Lord, am I doing what You want me to do? Am I in Your will? Am I walking with Thee? And when you get down there and you find out that the God wants you to go down there and the creek dries up and the ravens been feeding you and the creek dries up and things change a little bit, just listen to God. He's got somewhere else for you to go. My friend, just down the road a little piece, He said, I got a little widow woman down there that's going to take care of you. When Elijah got down there, she's out there picking up two sticks, going to make bread for her and her child, and she's going to die. Elijah said, God told me to come down here and You're going to sustain me. Do you imagine what she felt? But look at what happened. She said, in God's word is in His mouth is truth. Youngins, God's word is truth today. You can stand on it. You can live with that truth today. I'm here to tell you, children, that unless you get where God can really use you and get to that place in your Christian walk, that you're there for God, exactly the place God wants you to be, you're missing out on a cake. You're missing out on some sweetness in your life if you don't get that, place today. Sinner friend, if you're lost without God, you got to get from there to here. Get in this altar and ask God to save your soul.
Yes, sir.
My friend, that's the only way you're going to get to glory. You can't get in on mom and daddy's coattail.
Come on, bro.
You cannot do that. You can't get in because you are a member of this church. If you're not born again by God's grace, you're not going. You're not going. To get from there to here, you got to come to God. And from here to there, one day after a while. It may be sooner than you and I think. But praise God, I want to tell you something. There's not enough devils in hell itself can tell me that I'm not saved by the grace of God. My friend, man can look at you and do everything they want to do. But young'uns, when it really comes down to it, it's between you and God.
Amen.
You know it. Because you've been there. You've been there in that altar. You asked God to come into your life. You asked God to save you. And you took Him in your heart and your life. And there was a change in your heart and your life. My friend, there was a change in your being, your personality. You were changed completely. I can raise my hands and say, thank God for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I don't have to do it man's way. I got to do it God's way.
Amen.
I got to do it God's way. My friend, God is good.
Yes, sir.
He can give you some chocolate cake if you want it. Young'un, if you mind coming to the piano, please. Thank you. He can give you some upside down pineapple. I wished everybody in this building could taste my mama's cakes. I'm going to tell you something. I don't know what it's going to be like over there. But you know what? There might be a whole lot of cake over there. Amen. Might be a whole lot of cake. And I'll tell you who might be standing. If there was a kitchen, you know, I'll tell you who would be standing in that kitchen. It'd be my mama. She'd be making that cake. Us young'uns always know when mama was a cooking. I'd be laying in bed. I worked at the sawmill in the summer. All us boys did. Except for Michael. I'd be laying in the bed and it'd be about 6:30 in the morning. And I'd wake up and I'd smell them biscuits and gravy. Daddy didn't have to come in there and get me out of bed. I was in there. Mama fixed breakfast, dinner, and supper every day. Dinner may not have been a full course meal because Daddy was working. But us young'uns eat every day. We drunk cow's milk. Many of you don't even know what cow's milk is, do you? I went with my mama during the time that she used to milk a cow. We had to go out to my uncle's house. Mama said, Kenny, can you come with me? I'd go with her. And she sat there and milked that cow. I mean, she used both hands. And it didn't take long that peck bucket to be full. She tried to teach me how to do it, but I just couldn't do that. We take that cow's milk home, and before you got home, that cow's milk had a skim of butter on top. Now listen, I like butter, but I want it somewhere else besides in my milk. I'd skim, try to skim mine off. Mama got to where she'd strain it through a towel or through a cloth. And she'd get all that butter she could out of that milk. And us young'uns, that's what we had to drink. It was cow's milk. Didn't have no Coca-Colas at our house. Kool-Aid and cow's milk. But I want to tell you something. I wouldn't change it for nothing. I've been there. Thank God I've been here. And I'm going yonder to meet my mom and daddy again and my brother on the other side. Young'uns, if you're not there, you need to get there. Examine your relationship between God and say, Lord God, where do I need to get? God, I want you to speak to my heart and my life. Oh, it's good. It's good knowing that you're a child of the King. Praise God, I love Him today. I'm going to do whatever He wants me to do, the very best I can do it. And I'm the least God's ever called to preach the gospel.
Come on, brother.
But nobody loves it any more than I do. I love it. But we need to get our relationship with God. Would you stand, please?
Yeah.
Father, in Jesus' name.